This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
At the beginning of August, we had our second week of prayer here at MCF, and you can see we've left up some of the things, that the words that came out. And I know Jason mentioned this, I don't know if it was last week or a couple of weeks ago, but it was on the Thursday of that week that I sat down at that table over there and I just started to ask God some questions that had been on my heart all week. And this is the little bit of paper that I wrote it on. So I'm going to read you what just came out of my heart on that day. And I was just, you know, there was worship music playing and we were in God's presence. And I'm just like, God, what's your will for this church, Lord? What's your will for Mont Bold Christian Fellowship? What do you see, God, when you look at us? When you look at MCF, Lord, please show us what you see when you look at us so that we can embrace who we are, so that we can stand in this place fully confident in, I can't even read my own writing, fully confident in who we are. This is how we will be truly effective in our community. This church community is unlike any other. We are unique. And the only one we have to please is the Father. We might dress differently and sound different to every other church community, and we do. But when we fully embrace who God wants us to be, we will be so pleasing to Him. And as I just finished writing that, I saw Jason get up and walk. I hadn't quite finished, and he got up and he walked over to the board over there and he started writing on the board. And so I finished writing this out and I looked up at what he'd written, and he had written, MCF is to be a house of prayer and healing. I'm like, wow, God, that was a quick answer. I was blown away by that. I don't know whether you can grasp that, what that meant for me. I was like, I hadn't even finished writing out my heart to the Lord and asking Him, God, show me what you see when you look at us as a church. What do you see, God? And He says, I see MCF is a house of prayer and a house of healing. So I want to look a little bit about that today. I'm hopefully not going to talk too long. I have a few things that I just want to encourage you with around about that. That's not a new word, by the way. For those of you who've been in this house for quite some time, for any time, you know that's actually not a new word, right, from the Lord for this house. We've had that foundation laid. For those of you who are new, I believe that it was God just, the plan hasn't changed. We've had teaching around that. We've had words spoken over us as a church that God's plan and will for this house is that we would be a house of prayer and healing, and that plan hasn't changed. With all of the things that have happened over the years, the good and the bad, with all of the people that have come and gone, His plan and His will for this church remains. And even though we are in a new season, because we are in a new season, And the seasons come, we heard that this morning, the seasons come and the seasons change and we're moving with the Lord into a new season. I believe He just wanted to reinforce, it's okay, church, I still see the same thing. Your vision might have been a little bit distracted or, a little bit out of focus. Some other things might have come in to take your attention over the last few years, like COVID, you know, corporately, or things that have happened in our own life. Who's had anything unusual happen to them in the last couple of years? Who has not got their hand up? I want to talk to you after church. And I believe it was God just saying, church, it's okay. The plan is still the same. And I still see the same thing. You might have a few more scars. You might have a few more battle scars on you that I'm healing, but the plan is still the same. So if we can have that first slide up, please, Nate, that would be good. We're going to have a look. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to have a look at Matthew 21. And I'm just going to read a few verses out of that. I'm going to start at verse 12 of Matthew 21. And you know, this is Jesus, if you look at the beginning of 21, He's just come in to Jerusalem, and the people have welcomed him, and they're laying down their palm leaves and they're throwing down their coats over the mud, and he's riding on a donkey and he's entering in, and the people are thinking, this is it. It's about to happen. Everything that we've been waiting for, everything that we've been hoping for, it's about to happen. He's here. The new king has come. All that old stuff is going to be, you know, the people that have been oppressing us and the Romans and the oppression we've been under is about to end, because here he is. Here is the Messiah. And he rides in, and this is the first thing that Jesus does. Verse 12, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said to them, "The scriptures declare my temple or my house will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. A house of prayer and a house of healing. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law said saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David." But the leaders, the church people, were indignant. They asked Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" "Yes," Jesus replied, "haven't you ever read the scriptures? For they say, 'You have taught children and infants to give praise.'" Then he returned to Bethany, where he stayed overnight. And we'll finish there. So Jesus has spent the last 3 years teaching and preparing his disciples for the mission ahead, and now is the time for his purpose to be fulfilled. The first thing Jesus does after this triumphant entry into Jerusalem, he actually doesn't go to the politicians. He doesn't go to the leader of the army. He goes to his father's house. He goes to the temple. This is the place that mattered the most. This is the place that needed to be put right first. If there was going to be change, if the new kingdom was going to come and the new season was going to be entered into, Jesus needed to go to the temple, because that's the place that needed to be set in order first. And that hasn't changed, church. If there's going to be change in our community, if there's going to be change in our family, it has to start here. It has to start in this house, in this house. The people are expecting the kingdom of God to come, and Jesus says the very first thing that needs to happen is that my house needs to be in order. You know, the sellers and the merchants were meant to be near the temple. Have you ever thought about that? They actually weren't in the wrong place. They were supposed to be there near the temple. For the people to be able to come and offer their sacrifices to God, they needed to be able to do that. They didn't come from home carrying a sheep on their back, I don't think. They didn't, you know, just drag the sacrifice along the streets. They came to the temple where it was there. They could buy what they needed. They could change their money. And so the buyers and the sellers were actually in the right place. They were in the place that they needed to be. But they had let the means by which they worshipped become the focus of their worship. I want to say that again. The means by which they worshipped, the sacrifices, which was good and right, they had allowed that to become the thing they worshipped. They were operating in the outer court of the temple, and this was the only place where the Gentiles could come and pray. Those who were seeking God's presence were being stopped from entering his presence by the very people of God's house. In Jesus' day, the people of God were buying and selling. Their love for money had overtaken what had started out as a good thing. Church, I really felt the Lord say to me, what are we doing today that prevents those seeking the presence of God from entering in? It's sorry, these things are, just squeeze them on a bit. Can we have slide two, please, Nathan? I just want to take this one verse, Matthew 21:13, and we're just going to look at a few key points from it, and then we're going to spend some time praying together. My house, this is God's house, His alone. There cannot be two masters. If we're going to be a house of prayer church, if MCF is going to be the house of prayer that God sees, then He can be the only King. There can only be one Lord. There can only be one God. This is His house alone. When Jesus taught the disciples about loving money, earlier in chapter 6 of Matthew, he says plainly that we as humans can't love and serve two things at once. We will eventually love one and hate the other. This is God's house, God's house, God's way. This took me back to when my kids were young and they lived at home and they didn't like the rules of the house. And we would have discussion about that. And my final comeback to that was always, my house, my rules. You ever said that? I can see the parents nodding. My house, Talia. My house, my rules. It's like when the kids get in my car, and I still do that if my grown-up kids get in my car with me and they want to change the radio station. My car, my rules. But I believe, church, that's what it is. That's just the way it is. He is God alone. This is His house, His rules, His precepts, His way of doing things. And we can't serve both. We can't have one foot in the world and one foot in his house. It's all in. You know, when I thought about this word house, and when you look it up in Strong's, it means a few things. And even when you look it up in the dictionary, it's the same thing. It can mean a dwelling. We know that. It can mean a house. So I'm talking about this house, this sanctuary that God's provided for us. This is His house where we come together. This is a house He's provided for us as a family to come and meet together. How blessed are we? We are so blessed. The word house can also mean a family. We are His house. We are His household. You and I together, when we come here, are His family, His children, His household. There's a verse in Joshua 24:15 that says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So when God says, "My house will be a house of prayer," it's not really anything about this building. It's about this house. It's about this house. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are where God lives. God lives in you. So He's talking about you as His house and then us as a household, that we will be a house of prayer. Next one, thanks, Nathan. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Church, this is a declaration. This is an announcement that God says over us. He's declaring to you and to the spiritual world and to the carnal world, this is what my house will look like. It's a declaration in the heavenlies. My house will be a house of prayer. And Jesus has made this declaration over us. We are now the house of God, individually and corporately. As I said, you, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? 1 Corinthians 6:19. And we are the family. We are the household of God. I want to be encouraging you today. You belong to the household of God. Now, all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now you Gentiles, that's us, we're no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Ephesians 2, 18 to 22. He's made a declaration over us. My house shall be called a house of prayer. The next one, thank you, Nathan. My house shall be called a house of prayer. I'm not going to go into a comprehensive teaching about prayer today. I will just share this one thing. I was sitting in the chair at home this week, and I was just like, God. And I ask him this all the time because I hear other people pray. And I think, man, I wish I could pray like that. You know, I hear other people pray. I hear testimonies. I'm like, oh, I just feel so inadequate. And I'm often saying, God, please teach me how to pray. Teach me how to pray, God. Please, Lord, please. I'm sitting in the chair. Please teach me how to pray. Because I see, you know, when I see this teaching, that touches my heart. I want that. Teach me how to pray. And I really felt like the Father, God, just said to me, you're already doing it. What you're doing right now, Karen, is praying. And I know that might sound really Christianity 101 to you. But when the Holy Spirit touches your heart like that, and says something like that to you, that changes you. And where I felt inadequate before, I was like, I'm already doing it. I want to encourage you today, church. This is already a house of prayer. God's declared it over us, but he wants to see us grow in that even more. Because out of that, don't forget, out of that, that's where the healing comes. That's where our ability and our authority, our wisdom from God comes, that we can pray for others and there can be spiritual and emotional and physical healing, but it all starts with prayer. Jesus didn't say that my house will be a house of preaching. Preaching is good. I like it. I like doing it and I like listening to other people. But Jesus did not say, my house will be a house of preaching. Jesus didn't say, my house will be a house of music. Music's great. He did say that we should be worshippers and we will worship in spirit and truth. So hear me right. Please hear my heart. But Jesus did not declare, my house will be a house of music. He didn't say, my house will be a house where you can all come and sit down and have a meal together, although that's good as well. He said, my house will be a house of prayer. That's what he wants us to be known for, church. That's what he wants us to be known for out in the community. That's what he wants your families to know this has. And I know many of them do. Many of your families who are not saved yet, who are not walking with the Lord. How many of you have got families that ring up when they're in trouble and say, can you please get the church to pray for me? Yeah, I know. There's a lot. And that's what God's saying. That's what I want you to be known for, number one. I want you to be known, church, MCF, I want you to be known as that place where people can come because you pray. And you make a difference with your prayers. I don't know what else it looks like for us, but what I do know is we need to be really careful as we step into this and as we grow into it more, that we don't listen to other people's opinion about what that should look like or what other churches are doing about that. That's all great to read, or even what's happened in past experiences. What is God saying now to us? What does God want us to look like? So I don't want to hear opinions. I want to seek God and allow Him and the Holy Spirit to show us what that looks like for us at MCF. What does that look like to be a house of prayer? I don't know yet, but I believe God is going to show us. We are seated in heavenly places. I have heard that so many times in the last couple of months. We are seated in heavenly places. And I was down at the Sanctuary Church in Lilydale a couple of weeks ago, and Dean, one of the associate pastors there, said it again, we are seated in heavenly places. But he went on to say, and this was the key for me, and I hope it is for you today, we are seated in heavenly places so that we can bring heaven to earth. I don't have 1 foot in earth and 1 foot in heaven. I am seated. That's where I'm at home. That's where I'm sitting down, where I'm comfortable, in the heavenly places. But I bring that with me to earth, wherever I go, whoever I talk to, whenever I interact with somebody. Can I have the next slide, please, Nate? And this will take... Some of you might have seen this. I saw this a little while ago, but I want to share it with you this morning. This, we had a lot of words last week around eagles, right? A lot of prophetic word came out last week about around eagles. And so this got my attention. And I want to share this with you this morning. And you might just have to click along, Nathan, because I didn't get it all on one screen. But this is it. The eagle does not fight the snake on the ground. It picks it up into the sky and changes the battleground. And then it releases the snake into the sky. The snake has no stamina, no power, and no balance in the air. It is useless, weak, and vulnerable, unlike on the ground where it is powerful, wise, and deadly. Take your fight into the spiritual realm by praying. And when you are in the spiritual realm, God takes over your battles. Don't fight the enemy in his comfort zone. Change the battleground like the eagle and let God take charge through your earnest prayer. Church, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. I know that this room is full of needs. I know it. And if you don't have a need in this house this morning, well, praise God, you have got a lot to be grateful for then. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. And I really felt the Lord impress on me this morning that He wants us to be a people who put this into practice. And what better place to start than right here and right now? So I'm going to get us, what we're going to do, we're going to spend maybe the next 15, 20 minutes, I don't know, that will be up to the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray together. But I want you to get in groups of two or three. And I know this might be uncomfortable for some of you. And as I look around the room, I hope not. I hope that you would all feel comfortable doing that. And I don't, two, three or four at the most, no more than four in a group. And I want you first to talk to each other and I want you to find out from each other one specific need that you would like prayer with, about. And I want you to pray for each other. And if you need healing, you don't need to come to anyone special from that other than find a believer. And this house is full of believers and there will be healing in this place this morning. I believe that. And we're not going to play any music and we're not going to do anything like that. We're just going to get together and we're going to pray. So let's do that. Let's find groups of two to four people. Move around, feel comfortable. You're at home here. Do you want to just come and walk up here? Jill couldn't walk up these stairs this morning without pain. And she's been healed. Praise God. You know, church, that was, I don't know whether you could, I just stood there for a minute watching you all and listening to you all. And what a sight that is. and how that must please the Father to see his children just talking to each other and loving on each other and then taking it to him in prayer. So, and that, you know, I'm including myself in this church. I'm not saying I've got it together because, you know, God's only just shown me this week that I actually know how to pray. So that's a good thing. You know, this shouldn't be an unusual thing for us. So let's practice. Let's keep practicing that together and encouraging each other and spurring each other on. And I believe God's going to really grow something in this place because he already sees it. He already sees this as a house of prayer and healing, and he's already made that declaration over us. Let me pray. Father, you are so good to us. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. What a privilege, and what an honor, and what a joy to know you. Thank you for the way you reveal yourself to us. Thank you that you hear us when we pray. Thank you that it delights you and you incline your ear to us when we pray. You want to hear us. You want us to ask you. You want us to seek you. And you want to impart to our hearts your heart. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for Mombok Christian Fellowship. Thank you that we are part of your whole body, but I thank you for this place where you've planted each one of us, and thank you that you're bringing others in to join us. And I thank you that this is your house, and you have declared that it is a house of prayer and of healing. Continue to teach us, Holy Spirit. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombok Christian Fellowship.